Well, good evening to each of you, and greetings in Jesus' name. Looking forward to being together this evening and looking into the Word of God and hearing from each other as well, hearing your expression of being at peace with God and so on. Before I get into the sermon, I would like to thank the church for the offering on Sunday. I think it was Sunday morning or the Sunday before that, I forget, but for Diedrich, Kinley gave me a check this evening. Thank you very much, very generous of you all, and it's very much appreciated. All right, I would like to begin this evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You may turn with me there. Thinking about communion, getting together to observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think I'll read verses 11 through 21. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. This evening, Paul speaks here. He uses the word communion here in verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Paul speaks of the wine and the bread of the Lord's Supper as being the communion of the blood and the body of Christ. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a physical reminder to us of this communion, the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ, the oneness that we have with each other. But it's that oneness that we have with each other is found in Jesus Christ. Communion is a combination of two words, common union. It's a mutual participation. It's sharing together. The Greek word is one you're all familiar with. It's koinonia, and it means that. It means oneness and fellowship. And so we don't come together necessarily twice a year to be united to Christ, but we come together to partake in the Lord's Supper because every one of us already are in union and in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And because we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, by default, we're in fellowship with each other. We have one union. Our union is Jesus Christ. We abide in Him and He abides in us. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He speaks to us. We hear His voice and obey Him. I love the words of the song we sometimes sing here. Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let His love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are His members. We reflect the light He is. He the master, we the brothers. He is ours and we are His. That is a beautiful picture of the koinonia, the oneness, the togetherness that we have with Jesus and with each other. And I'd like to sing that song together. I think we'll wait till the end of the sermon. I thought about singing it now, but I think I'll save it for the end of the sermon. But those words are beautiful words. And every time that we drink the cup and eat the bread, we are reminded of that sacred union that we have with Jesus Christ and with each other. Verse 17, it says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And so the verse starts out as us being many, or different parts coming together. Many become one because of we are partakers of one bread, one Savior, one Lord, Jesus Christ. We have unity and koinonia because we are in union with Jesus Christ. When we all eat the same bread, when we are following the same shepherd, when we are hearing the same voice, then we are all striving to become like Him. That's when we all come together. When we're all following one shepherd, hearing one voice, and ordering our lives after His example, then we come together in Him. We lose our individuality in Him. And verse 14 catches my attention in this portion of Scripture. It says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And we know that idolatry is worshiping anything other than God. And it especially meant that in the Old Testament, God talks to Israel many times. He said, "I am a jealous God. You're not to have any other gods before me. Not to bow down to images. But in the New Testament, thinking about the New Covenant, is it too harsh to define idolatry in the New Covenant as anything that mars the union that we have with Jesus Christ? The relationship that we have with Christ is precious. It's not to be taken for granted. But there's stuff that is prone to get in and mess up that union, that oneness that we have. You know, we have to deal with the flesh and the world and the devil. They're all working towards corrupting that union that we have with Christ. There's a lot of potential idols out there, and if we begin to set them up in our hearts, it breaks down our relationship, first of all with Christ and also with each other. And so verse 12 reminds us, says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And I think especially right after that, Paul brings in the admonition about idols. And so we need to think about that as we think about our own hearts, that there are things that come into our lives, that can come into our lives, that want to mar the relationship that we have, the union that we have with Jesus Christ and with each other. Verse 21 is a sobering verse. "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils." God is a jealous God. Remember in the Old Testament He said that. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And so, because of that potential for the corruption of oneness, for us to want to set up idols in our hearts, we need to examine ourselves. We need to think about our own lives, and that's what we're here to do this evening. Paul says in chapter 11, we want to look at that in a little bit, "Let a man examine himself and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup," in my own words. That word "examine" means to test or to prove. I'd like to read a few verses from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was looking at this scripture this afternoon. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Says here, Paul says to Timothy in verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And as we think of examining ourselves, the word approved in this verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, is essentially the same Greek word as the word examine, to prove or to try. Now, Strong's definition for study is to use speed or to make effort, to be prompt, to be earnest. There's other translations that translate this verse as be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. And so we're to make effort. We're to be earnest about it. Examining our lives is not something we should do in a half-hearted way, but rather we should be serious about it. We should be seeking the Lord in prayer and asking Him to show us our hearts. And really, as we think about examining ourselves, we acknowledge that many times even we are not capable of examining ourselves the way that we should. But God says, I am the one that tries the hearts. I'm the one that knows the reins. David's prayer that he prayed in Psalm 139, Daniel quoted this earlier, that should also be our prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as Daniel also mentioned, as we think about earnestly being diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, being diligent to examine our hearts, our tendency is to look around and look at other people and see, well, you know, my brother, I think he really has got an issue here. But we need to examine our own hearts. We need to ask the Lord to show us what we need. As I said, there's so many things that are prone to corrupt the oneness, the koinonia that we have in Jesus Christ, and we must guard our hearts, must be diligent. And it shouldn't be just a communion time. It should be all of the time that we are guarding our hearts and examining our lives. But especially we want to examine ourselves now in preparation to partake of the Lord's Supper, because He has told us that we should do that. We don't want to partake unworthily. I like verses 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We should examine ourselves, study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that we can come to the Lord's Supper as a vessel of honor, a vessel that is first of all cleansed and sanctified and purged, are the words that are used here. Clean, purged, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only then can we come. And then we are ready and equipped for the Master's use. We are prepared to do every good work. That's a vessel that is of gold and of silver and that is equipped. It's coming to the Lord's Supper as it should come. Verse 19 says, "The Lord knows those who are his, and those who are his are sanctified and pure vessels. The condition of those whom God claims as his own, what is it? It's those that have been departed from iniquity." So, yes, the Lord knows who are his, but we also have a part to play. If we want to have God claim us as his own, then it means we have departed from iniquity. We're not living after sin. We're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. I'd like to read from chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, the scripture we often use at council meeting. First Corinthians chapter 11. I think I'll start in verse 20. "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat." I should start back a little bit further. Let me start in verse 18. "For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Paul is saying that when you come together in this way, when there's divisions and there's contention and there's strife, then you are not eating the Lord's Supper. You're not doing it the way that you should be doing it. "For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." There it is, the command to every one of us: examine our own selves. "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Paul is quoting the words of Jesus when Jesus met with his disciples at the Last Supper. Those were his words: "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. The cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me." And so the communion service is I guess you could say it's a memorial service to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's so that we do not forget. But there's also more to it than that. It's also, verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Or it could literally be read, "You do preach the Lord's death till he come." So in taking the cup, in eating of the bread, we are preaching to the world that we still believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he is the only way to salvation. And if it wouldn't be for him, there would be no hope. That's our sermon to the world, to our children, as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. And so it behooves us that we don't come with sin in our lives, because Jesus Christ shed his blood, broke his body, completely free of sin. He was the sinless, perfect sacrifice. And he did it so that we can be in that union with him. We don't need to have sin marring our lives. And when we come with, in a lighthearted way, failing to examine ourselves, not recognizing the sin that we might have, doing it unworthily, we are bringing damnation to ourselves. So, as we come together on Sunday morning, we come together to remember what Jesus has done for us, but we also come to preach salvation through Jesus Christ and his blood. I'm going to read Psalm 51 in closing. This is David's prayer of repentance to God. And I believe it's a very fitting psalm to read in this service. As we think about coming, partaking of the Lord's Supper, you know, there is a sense in which not one of us is worthy. All of us have sinned. We cannot say, like Jesus could, we are not perfect. Jesus was without sin, but we are not. David sinned, but he repented of his sin. And this psalm is a beautiful picture of that repentance and the way that we need to respond. When God reveals things in our own hearts, which he does in my heart many times, the call for us is to respond in this way. I'm just going to read this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You alone know the inward parts of your life tonight. The rest of us can't see into your hearts. But God wants you to come to the communion table examining those deep inward parts of your heart that no one else can see. He wants truth and purity in the inward parts, in the hidden parts. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I believe that's the spirit which God would want us to come to the communion table. As we examine ourselves, we acknowledge our sins, we're willing to repent, and we do everything that we can do to keep that koinonia, that union with Jesus Christ and with each other. Let's stand and sing number 350.